This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, ready.
Talking about worst of first.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
AFC Jets 61%
over the Browns.
17% Broncos. 14%.
Guess who I voted for in that poll?
I mean, you should have voted for the Jets.
I did not. I voted for the Browns.
Earlier on the show, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. Coming up, University of Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian. Pro Football Hall of Famer Steve Hutchinson. Giants general manager Joe Shane. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great chat with Mark Schlereth. And hour number one, the three-time Super Bowl champion from back in the day with the Denver Broncos, and also for Washington back in the day. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth, great chat. Will not be invited to the next running back Zoom whatsoever.
Definitely not.
So there's that. Steve Hutchinson, because we're doubling our guard pleasure, he's going to join us in about 20 minutes' time. I'll be straight up, because I'm heading to Canton, Ohio tomorrow morning.
Nice.
And I just need to get everything straight. Like, what am I going to do after hosting the jacket dinner, in which I best not be trifled with when I get to the podium?
You will be.
Because there was a barrel last year, and then two of them are coming back this year. Because that's two straight Michigan wins. I'll be coming in to host the jacket dinner. Honestly, I need to know if Hutch has got the post jacket dinner social order all set.
Now, is this just for Michigan men, or can anyone?
No, not at all. Last year, okay, it was the guys who he went into the Hall of Fame with in 2021.
Okay,
they're all like came back as returning Hall of Famers for the first time and just wanted to hang out, and it was a great hang for me. I was definitely a fly on the wall plus one. That's all I was.
You're very popular at those things.
I appreciate you saying that. Joe Shane, the general manager of the New York Football Giants, will join us in hour number three. But joining us to kick off hour number two of this program is the head coach of University of Texas football, Steve Sarkisian, back on the program. How are you, Coach Sark?
I'm great, Rich. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
First things first, most important thing, the missus wanted me to say hello to you. Susie sends her best. It's her birthday today, by the way, so just wanted
to say tell her happy birthday. She was covering us at SC. She's 20 years ago, man.
It was.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. She used to bring our rescue dog Hudson to practices, Coach, if you remember
that's
that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's it. So, anyway, she sends her best to you, and I'm glad that I will pass right back at you. So, practice just began yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Your training camp's open?
Yeah. Yesterday was day one. We're back out this afternoon.
Okay. What have you gleaned about your team so far in the first 24 hours? Anything? What do you got for
Well, me? You know, I think one of the biggest takeaways from yesterday, I was impressed with our passing game, you know, which has been a point of emphasis of ours coming out of last season. I thought, you know, Quinn Ewers really was effective, probably one of his best practices he's had since he's been here with us. Thought the receiving core played well. You know, I know we've all got, you know, high expectations and for that group, and I thought they played well. And so, you know, the first couple days, you know, you're not in pads, so you're hopeful that your passing game is clean and efficient, and that definitely showed up yesterday.
Okay, so everyone, isn't it funny how things work in this world? Everyone's talking about your quarterback's haircut, Coach. Ewers is no longer got a party in the back, is that correct, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Business everywhere now, business everywhere.
Okay. I'll ask the question. I don't care if it sounds silly. Does that indicate anything to you? Seriously, like when you say all business, what do you got for me on that front?
Well, I think the biggest thing is this. You know, perception has been preceding Quinn. Some Quinn's a great guy. He's an awesome teammate. He's super coachable. And I honestly, I didn't mind the mullet. That was him. That was you okay. know him just being one of the guys, but inevitably, you know, you have a mullet, you have a beard, and people think you don't take the job serious or something. So I think he's, you know, changing perception, and now people are probably taking him a little bit more seriously, and they're actually getting to know him, and they're finding out, man, he is a great guy. He's a great teammate. He's super coachable. He does awesome stuff in our community. But more so, I think that it signifies he's put in a lot of time and effort here over the last 8 months, and he's changed his body. Obviously year two in the system, I think he's got a better understanding of what we're doing. He's become a really good leader on our team. If that, you know, if the haircut signifies all that, then maybe I should have all my guys, you know, get the haircut.
Exactly. No, I obviously it would be just a metaphor for something. And how is he, you know, just taking on the leadership role with him being in year two of that, Coach?
Well, I think it's gone well. You know, he, a year ago when he got here, he was a transfer, you know, from Ohio State. And so that takes time when you're getting in that locker room, and he was in the midst of a quarterback battle with Hudson Card, which really went all the way into training camp, up into the first game. This year, now he's been here for over a year. I really feel like I feel like that's his locker room. You know, those guys believe in him. He's much more apt to step up when things aren't going the way they should be going. He's much more apt to motivate. He's much more apt to do things outside of football with his teammates. And that just comes from confidence. That comes from getting to know people. So that side of it, I think, is natural. You know, it always takes a little bit of time. But he's really assumed that role, and I think he's really earned the respect of his teammates and definitely in the locker room.
Well, you know, how many times, though, do you get asked about Arch Manning, though? I mean, when you're going around being Coach Sark.
Pretty much every interview.
Okay. No, I'm talking about going around town. I mean, know what I mean? And obviously Quinn has got a significant amount of talent, you know, and you have high expectations for him this year. But how does he handle the whole Arch Manning of it all?
He's handled it great. You know, I think one thing that we've really tried to do, and we've tried to do everywhere we've been, is, you know, focus on what you need to be working on and not worrying so much about what the other guy needs to be working on, but yet still be a great teammate for the other guys and support him on the things that we're asking him to work on, because everybody's at a different stage. And we've got a great quarterback room. Obviously, Quinn is what we think, an elite player at the position. Malik Murphy is a very talented young man. Arch Manning is a really talented guy, and going into year one with him. So they're all at different stages. They all have got their own, you know, strengths. They all have got some weaknesses that we're working on. But in the end, the rapport in that room, I think, is what's important. You know, their connectivity, their support for one another. That, to me, that room has got that such good rapport that it's kind of permeated throughout our locker room. That guys, you know, are working really hard and they're competing, but yet there's a lot of respect for what other guys on the team are doing.
What is your plan for Arch Manning this year, Steve?
Get him to become the best player I can get him to become. You know, and you never know how seasons go with injuries and whatnot. And so I just have to keep preparing him like I'd prepare every other player. If his number's called, that he can go out there and help us win. The goal for his career is that, you know, when that time comes for him ultimately become the starting quarterback here, that he's ready to play, and not just ready to play, but ready to play great football. You know, nobody wants to go out and be average. So that's what we try to strive to do with all of our guys, especially at the quarterback position.
But you're preparing him to play this year in when you say in case his number is called. Do you have any scenarios that you're willing to share on that front?
Well, I hope I have no scenarios. That means our guys didn't get hurt. So the reality of it is, focus on being the best player you can be and keep working and keep grinding. And like I said, if your number's called, can you go out there and perform at a high level to help us win? You know, that this is Quinn's team. He's our starting quarterback. And, you know, knock on wood that you know, there's nothing that would change that. Mm-hmm. That means he's playing good football and he's healthy.
Steve Sarkisian, head coach of Texas football here on the Rich Eisen Show. With all due respect to taking it one game at a time, I'm going to skip over week one, your first opponent, and with all due respect to Louisiana Monroe. Then there's Alabama. I mean, when you've got such a significant opponent and one with whom you have history in week two, how in the world do you get ready for something like that? When it's a big first assignment in many ways for a lot of the kids out there.
Well, first, we play Rice, actually, week one.
So. Okay. I had the wrong schedule.
You're not the first one, though. We played Monroe last year. So, but that's, I think, of the utmost importance.
Oh, you're too
right?
Kind. I hit the wrong button right here. Okay, my bad. But go for
it. When we're in training camp, we've got to focus on the task at hand. And we've got a lot of young players that are going to need that experience in week one. to get ready for week two. You never really want to go play in Alabama, and that's your first time you know, jogging out of the tunnel and taking a snap or defending a post route or whatever. So there's going to be invaluable experience out of week one. And then in week two, you know, a great challenge. You know, obviously, as you know, Rich, I mean, I have the utmost respect for Coach Saban. He did so much for me and my career and my family, and we had some great moments and some great wins together. But in that time, you learn a lot about that program and a lot about the kids in the program and a lot about Coach Saban. And so you prepare for that game, and you go into that game with the utmost respect, knowing that we're going to get their best shot because he's going to have them prepared to play. And we have to make sure that they get our best shot and mm-hmm. that ultimately we perform. And we thought we played well last year. We came up short. But you know, we look at some things in that game to where, man, shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, you get in the red area five times and you only score one touchdown. You know, that's a recipe for losing a ball game. And so we think we can improve, but going to Bryant-Denny Stadium night game, it's going to be a great environment, and I know we're all looking forward to it.
Okay, so in the few minutes I have left with you here, Steve Sarkisian, two people I want your favorite story about. Okay, the first one is Bijan Robinson. What's your favorite Bijan Robinson story? It could be in the locker room, could be on the field, could be in any point in time of your connection with him as he's getting set to be a top 10 running back chosen by the Falcons in this league. What do you got?
So I kept getting asked this question throughout the draft process from all the teams. Is this kid for real? Is this real? I mean, is he really this nice? Is he really, you know, this genuine? Is he really this hardworking? Is he really this considerate of his teammates and supportive and all that? I said, I got to be honest with you. I was on the job at Texas in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about on the job for about a month, maybe 2 months. And I called him into my office, and I told all the NFL teams this. I asked him the exact same question straight to his face. I said, are you for real? Like, are you this good of a kid every single day of your life? And he just kind of smirked at me and he said, Coach, I just am who I am every day. Like, he is an awesome human being. As good of a football player he is, he's a better person. And so that's the funny story, because it's like sometimes he's too good to be true.
Well, I think the Falcons fans are hoping that this does translate to the NFL, and obviously you'd know about making that leap. What are your two cents on that?
Well, I think he fits well in the NFL because he's a really versatile player. You know, he's a guy that can definitely run between the tackles, has great balance and body control, one cut ability. You know, he can get the ball on the perimeter with his speed and elusiveness and playing space. But he's really good. He's got tremendous hands. He had the best hands on our team the last couple of years, and he's a really good route runner. And so you start combining all of that into the modern day NFL football. He's a three down back that can hurt you a variety of ways. He's not one that just has to run between the tackles and can take that pounding. He's a guy that can do a lot of different things, which you see nowadays. Whether it's McCaffrey or Kamara, those types of guys. You know, I think he falls into a similar mold in that style of play.
All right, and then before I let you go, your favorite story involving Texas's Minister of Culture himself, Matthew McConaughey. What do you have for me on that front, Steve Sarkisian?
Well, you know, what was fun last year, he called me the week we were playing OU. He said, Coach, would you mind if I came to the game this weekend?
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, yeah, sure. You know, come on, we'll be up in Dallas, the Cotton Bowl, it's going to be a heck of an environment. He goes, no, I kind of want to come to the game with y'all. I want to travel with you guys. So I said, yeah, come on, get on the plane with us and fly up. So we sat together. We flew up to the game, and he's right there on the sidelines. And you know, as the game goes, and it was a heck of a win. And sometimes you forget like who's there and what's going on. And we get in the locker room, and we got the golden hat, and we're celebrating. And I turn around, and there's Matthew McConaughey wearing the golden hat, dancing in the locker room with our team. I said, "Holy cow! Okay, we are really in Texas now, baby. We're rolling."
that is the best, man. He is again another guy who he is, right? Just like Bijan.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, he's great. He really is great, man. I mean, but that's what makes being at places like this and being at the University of Texas like this special. You know, you like yesterday we go out for practice one And I turn around, and the guy yells at me and kind of taps me on the shoulder. I turn around, and Vince Young's on the sidelines.
Hey.
You know, and he's there. And only like Vince can, he's running his mouth, and he's talking crap to the players. But that's what these places like this have. You know, you have these awesome people that you get to interact with who are super successful on the field, off the field. And I think that's what makes it fun, and that's why it's such an attractive place.
Oh, my gosh. As you know, Vince Young is a four-letter word to USC football fans. You know that, right? I mean, my
Well, I was on
gosh.
The other sideline.
I bet.
You got to remember.
I bet,
so,
right? You were there. What a night that was.
He reminded me of that a few times. You know who's on staff here with me is Michael Huff.
Look at you. They were both.
Michael Huff.
That's right.
Michael
sure.
Huff made the tackle on 4th-and-2 on Lendell White.
Why wasn't Reggie on the field, Stark? Come on now. Let's just get right into it. Why wasn't Reggie on the field?
Lendell was having a better game. Lendell had a heck of a game that night.
What a game.
You got to remember.
Yeah, okay. I
mean, he had a heck of a game. And everyone's acting like, you know, Lendell was, you know, chopped liver. The guy scored 59 touchdowns in 3 years.
What a Rose Bowl that was, Coach.
It was a heck of a game.
Let's go down more memory lane next time I have you on. Thanks for the time here. Let's chat during the season. Appreciate
it. Thanks, buddy.
All the best. That is Coach Steve Sarkisian right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, Steve Hutchinson, Pro Football Hall of Famer. We'll go memory lane and talk about the party bus that I intend to be on shortly. Next.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep. Going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
You told a story about the genesis of all right, all right.
Yes.
All right.
Here's where that comes from. So,
okay.
Dazed and Confused.
Yes. Genius film.
I'm in the right bar at the right time. Mm-hmm. And a guy goes, "Hey, you ever done any acting? You might be right, just right for this part." Legendary casting director and producer Don Phillips. I come back, and they do what's called a makeup and wardrobe test, meaning they're shooting another scene one night. I'm just going to show up. Director's going to step off the set and come and look and go, mm-hmm. "Great. I approve." Well, he comes and looks. He goes, "Geez, this is Wooderson. It's great." He goes, "Listen, you're not scheduled to work tonight, but we're over here at the Top Notch drive through, and you think Wooderson might want to pick up on the redheaded intellectual, Jake?" And I'm like, "Sure." And he goes, "Want to shoot it?" I'm like, "Sure." So I go get in the car. I'm about to shoot my first scene ever in a film.
Of your career?
Of my career. And I had been listening to a lot of 70s rock and roll at that time. And there was a certain live recording of a Jim Morrison concert in like Amsterdam or somewhere where he barks at the crowd, "All right, all right, all right, all right," 4 times, real aggressively though. I'm not thinking about that, but this comes back. So I'm in the car and I'm like, "Who's my man?" I'm nervous. I'm about to hear act. "Who's my man? Who's Wooderson?" I said, "Well, I'm about my car." And I go, "Well, I'm in my 70 Chevelle."
Yes.
"There's one."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "I'm about getting high." I said, "Well, Slater's riding shotgun. You know he's got a Dubois rolled up." "There's two." And I said, "And I'm about rock and roll." And I said, "Well, I got Nugent, Stranglehold in the 8-track, man." "There's three." And I hear action. And I look up, and in my mind, I go, "And I'm about chicks. I got 3 out of 4. Let's go get the 4th. All right, all right, all right." Wow. That was it.
So
first words
confused.
I ever said on screen.
Love that guy. Love every single time he's been kind enough to come on this program. It's all on our YouTube page for sure. I'm back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network along with our Roku channel live stream. The Rich Eisen Show desk I'm sitting at is furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right, all right, all right. Let's find out what I'm doing this weekend. outside of hosting the Jacket Dinner and the all NFL right, Network Saturday right, coverage. Right. He is none other than a Pro Football Hall of Famer and one of my favorites, Steve Hutchinson, back on the program. How are you doing, Steve?
Doing great. Getting ready to head back to Canton.
Yes. Hutch, I got to be honest with you. This segment, I have an agenda. I'm not going to lie. It is essentially to try and plan my social time for the weekend. That's basically what it is.
I know where you're going with this.
Oh yeah, because it's hazy. It's hazy for me because it was a long night. Who was in that party bus with us, and who acquired the party bus? Last year, right?
The party bus was just a shuttle. I think it was just a shuttle that
we commandeered.
That's for us. I think we just commandeered it.
That's right. We said, "Hey, this is ours."
Yes.
And plus, well, we had protection, right? It wasn't just you, Joe Jacoby, right? Oh, yeah, we had some serious muscle.
No, we had with Jimbo Covert.
Jimbo Covert.
It was Jimbo. It was Harris. And let's see, who else was on there? Faneca, I believe.
That's right, Faneca. We had some serious muscle up front, for sure.
We had some people, but like you, it was a little hazy.
It was obviously I'm trying to jog my memory as to who the hell was on that bus. So are we getting the band back together? Let's just be honest. Are we getting it back together?
We've got to now, right? There's two things that have to happen in Canton every year. It's now tradition. One, you have to insult the entire state of Ohio on Friday night when you do your monologue for the Gold Jacket Dinner.
Check.
One. And then two is we have to... we have to leave there with some sort of story from the parties that we can talk about for a year.
All right. So now here's the thing.
We did both those things last year.
Here's the thing, Hutch. I will guarantee the stories about the post jacket dinner revelry on Friday night or Saturday, depending on social situations. I'll be honest with you. I did not plan on insulting the entire state of Ohio last year. I did not walk up to the podium with that agenda. What's that? What are you looking at, TJ? You're making a face here.
I'm just saying.
Such a beautiful job, though.
No, but here's the thing, Steve. They heckled me. First.
It is Ohio.
Right? I mean, they heckled me, and it's
started it. They did.
Right, and I just, my juices started flowing. It kicked in, like, wait a minute. Did we not finally break that losing streak? Wasn't the 40 burger applied, you know, aggressively?
Yeah, you just stated facts. That's the way I thought.
Please. You know.
There'll be a lot more facts to state this year.
So, I don't intend to go up, looking for trouble on Friday night. Right. I just wanted to let it be known. I'm not looking for it, but my head will be on a swivel. That's for sure.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. Something tells me that you're going to have to just make an obscure Michigan reference to entice the booing, and then you'll go on from there.
Just put a little piece of 40 burger in the water and see who bites. That's what you're saying. Exactly. Oh my gosh! All I'm just saying is just I don't usually say this before going into host an event. By the way, that is not about me. That is truly one of the greatest events that I'm honored to be hosting. They best not mess with me. That's all I'm saying. It's because
if they learned their lesson last year, I mean, you could really lay it on. You know, after 2 years in a row here this year, maybe it'll be. Maybe it'll just go through smooth and nobody will poke the bear a little bit, you know?
Did you hear the difference that's the new wrinkle to the jacket presentation and dinner? Have you heard about that?
No.
That starting this year, they are letting the enshrinees choose someone from the gauntlet to place the jacket on them if they wanted to. Because apparently it was born out of Isaac Bruce saying, hey, I didn't know Marino was there. If Marino was going to be there, I would have had him put the jacket on me because he was an idol of mine. And it got the hall of thinking. And so they're gonna have some of the enshrinees are going to have guys from the gauntlet come out of the gauntlet and put the jacket on.
Well, that's cool.
It is cool.
That's cool.
Who would you have?
It diminishes the role of the presenter a little bit.
Well, hold on. The presenter will still be there, and they'll also have a role on the Saturday.
I see. Right.
But
yeah, they play the video.
Yeah, yeah. They're gonna do that. So
I think that's cool.
Who would you have chosen from the gauntlet, or who when you were going through the gauntlet that you were like, oh God, like?
Oh, for me, I don't know if he was there that year. That you know, because you know, even though like you said, I went in on 20, it was kind of that.
Right.
It was the post COVID year, so it was two classes, and I can't remember if Dick Butkus was there or not.
Yeah.
But I would have had him put it. That would have been cool. I mean, I grew up, my mom's from Chicago. I grew up a Bears fan. That went away quick once I got in the league. But, I mean, monsters in Midway, old football, old school football, the way it was meant to be played. Like, I would have picked him for sure.
What's that like been for you? Again, 2021 is when you were enshrined. 2020, you had to wait, obviously, due to COVID. But what is that like for you to stroll around with your jacket on and mingle with your fellow Gold Jacket guys? What's that like?
Yeah, well, it's a lot less stressful going back as a returning guy than an incoming guy. There's, without getting into the whole thing, I mean, it's like planning a huge wedding, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
For everybody out there married, like, it's for really for everybody else but yourself. You're making sure the seats, everybody's got a ticket and everybody's hotels are squared away, and aunt so-and-so missed the flight or something.
Oh, by the way, Steve, I got that sense on the party bus from you and everybody else that this in your first year returning, you're like, this is the life, this is the way goes.
Yeah.
I got that sense.
First couple buttons, a little bit more casual.
Oh yeah.
It was great going back. And so really, honestly, last year was the first year for me to return as a returning guy, along with the rest of the bus load that we had. And you could see how relaxed and loose we were on the bus, bouncing from party to party. It's great because you get to kind of, at least for me last year, you kind of sit back a little bit and you could kind of notice the things you didn't really notice while you're going through it the first time. You get to notice the crowd in the stadium for what it is, and all the different sections of fans. And Friday night, you get to see – actually, I really enjoyed that. The Friday night Gold Jacket, they usher us in into like a long green room, if you will, hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting in there forever because it is a TV event, and they've got to get everything timed up. And so I was just sitting there, talking to Larry Zonka and, Steve Young. And I mean, we're just sitting there on folding chairs, like we're just sitting in some, high school locker room.
That's
ready
amazing.
For the rain to stop so we can go out there and play. And, and it was great. Just the stories and the connections you make just from that half hour sitting there kind of killing time. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you never really got a chance to do the year before, as going in as an enshrining.
That is so cool. Honestly, I can't get enough of it. Just having been around it now, this is my 20th year with NFL Network, and only a couple summers of Canton I missed. One for the birth of my oldest, and obviously 2020 with COVID. It never ever gets old. It really doesn't, and it's the only Hall of Fame enshrinement where the past is celebrated to celebrate the present and future season. It's awesome. It's great.
Yeah, they do a good job of bringing the generations together, and a lot of guys get to catch up and see each other really a lot of times for the only time during the year. Teammates and guys that you played against, and then of course you've got the story that I'm sure you've told about Cliff Harris last year. Getting to, get the thing he regretted for how many decades of his life, the fight on the field where somebody else got kicked out of the game, and he wanted to go apologize. You remember that?
Yeah, he said he went up because who got enshrined last year? That the player
it was somebody from Kansas City, mm-hmm. or it was a Kansas. Oh, it was Vermeil.
That's right, Vermeil.
We were at Vermeil's party, and there was a bunch of Kansas City guys there.
Right.
And I think this particular player played for Vermeil.
Yep.
He was a receiver for the Eagles.
Yep, in Philly. Right.
In Philly. And so it was a division game, and Cliff and this guy were kind of getting mouthy, and I think Cliff like kind of forearmed him to the helmet or something. The ref didn't see it, and this guy got up, he swung at Cliff, and he got kicked out of the game or something. And you know, Cliff's telling that story. He's like, "Yeah, we got to." He's saying all day long, "Hey, we got to make sure we go to Vermeil's." And I'm like, "Well, we'll go hit them all," but he wanted to go there first.
Yeah,
and he made a beeline right for this guy because he heard he was there, and he wanted to apologize from him from something happened in 1970.
Yeah, bury a half century old hatchet. I mean, yeah. That's amazing. Do you have any Steve Hutchinson here? For a couple more minutes left with the Hall of Famer. Anybody that's going in? Did you like go to the second level and meet Zach Thomas at any point in time in your career?
Yeah, I played against Zach. When in my younger days, he was a few years older than me. He didn't play the Dolphins a ton when I was in Seattle,
right?
Especially once we moved over into the NFC.
What about DeMarcus? DeMarcus,
I have a funny story about DeMarcus. So DeMarcus is a rookie, and we're playing the Cowboys in a preseason game. It was, I believe, it was a Monday night preseason game, mm-hmm. And we're playing. And Walter Jones, my left tackle, in our scheme, we had the option on certain pass plays whether we can what's called a fan, where we can just kind of push out and block the two guys on however we wanted to handle it. We could handle it. There was another option where Walt would block down on defensive end, and I could pop out and kind of in space block the outside linebacker if he came. So, and we, you know, we would always switch it up just to keep the defense honest. Well, a couple times I started popping on this, and there's this rookie out there named DeMarcus Ware, nobody's ever heard of, from Troy. And after a couple times of that, I'm like, "Hey, Walt, I'm not popping it. You take him. That's your guy." I'm like, "I'm not messing around. It's preseason. This guy's too good." So yeah, ran into DeMarcus plenty of times over my career. The first one is the one I remember the most. Kind of laughs about it now, but you know, I'm actually looking forward to this year because, you know, obviously with Cleveland and the Jets playing in the game,
mm-hmm.
and you're gonna have, you know, Cleveland doesn't have much to celebrate, you know, for a long time. So they're I think they're gonna come out in full force for Joe Thomas getting inducted, and it should be pretty electric. Not that it isn't any other year, but it should be pretty crazy with the home state of Ohio there, all for Joe.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And then Darrell Revis, longtime Jet who won one with the Patriots, and Joe Klecko, member of the New York Sack Exchange, going in there. And if I'm not
going in,
if I'm not mistaken, was he one of the stars of Smokey and the Bandit 2? Was Joe Klecko in that one? I think Cannonball Run?
Yeah,
one of those movies back in the day. Joe Klecko was.
Feisman was Cannonball.
It's Cannonball Run. Okay.
There you go. I think Klecko was Smokey and the Bandit. One of those two.
He was in both. How about that?
No, he wasn't both.
All right. So just wrapping up the agenda here. Friday night, we go post-jacket dinner, go have some beverages back at the goat farm spot,
We go back to one of the farms.
Okay, right. I think that, Chris, that was the spot where once upon a time Jim Kelly went behind the bar.
Oh,
and started serving drinks for everyone. Yes, exactly. And then
there's only so many venues you can have. So I would assume over the years, there's probably multiple stories, from each venue.
Right. And then Saturday, I have an early flight Sunday, but I think I could have my arm twisted to show up and get the band back together. Is that going to happen?
Yeah, well, that's the plan.
Who's in charge of getting commandeering the wheels?
You know, Jimbo sent out a text. Jimbo sent out a group text the other day about, "Hey, what's the deal? What are we doing?" You know, along those lines.
Okay.
And so it looks like everybody involved responded one way or the other. So we all know that everybody's coming into town, all that stuff. So it should be pretty easy.
Okay. Very good. Sounds great, man. I look forward to it. And I assume Landon, your lovely wife, will be there as well? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, we'll be there in full force.
Okay, very good. So we'll be talking about it. Very good. And let's just do her a solid. Living with Landyn, L-A-N-D-Y-N, on Instagram, right? For all of her her hard work. I'm not going to mention your Instagram. We don't need to know that anymore.
Yeah, we don't need to. Right,
okay,
yeah,
but very good. Yeah, all right, very good. Everyone go.
Yep.
Let's go. The whole Hutchinson family, let's roll, literally and figuratively. And I'll see you on Friday. You be well.
Let's do it. All right.
All right. That's Hutch at Hutch. All right. At Hutch 76. Oh, you got rid of the poison pill handle, huh? That's gone?
Yeah. I went and changed it up a little bit on Twitter.
You're keeping it classy? Is that what you're saying? You're keeping it classy now, Steve?
I'm keeping it classy.
Oh, by the way, before we go. Jeez, I can't believe it. This is like a Jewish goodbye now. Hey, listen, so many people think Michigan's got a chance to win it all this year. What do you think?
I think we're gonna be pretty good. I mean, you got a pretty good offensive line. I don't know if there's a school in the country that has two backs like we have, and you got a quarterback that's something special. Nobody gave us a chance last year, saying, "Well, we lost so many guys on defense." But you know the old saying. Lloyd had a quote. I'll stick by it. Says the expectation is for the position, not the player. So if you're gonna go on the field and wear the winged helmet, there's a standard you have to play up to. And even though we lose guys, I think Jim's doing a great job recruiting, getting guys in there to replace these missing pieces that go on to the NFL or through graduation. And I think this might be his stacked squad yet. Now, without jinxing anything, but
yes.
Saw Blake Corum the other day looking healthy and happy, so that's always a good sign.
Okay, what was Lloyd's phrase? Give me that one again.
Lloyd's phrase was the expectation was for the position, meaning, it doesn't matter who it is. If you're called on to step in that role on that particular play or that whatever, that there's a standard you have to play to. So, that's kind of the mantra we always play to. Like, if a guy steps in for somebody or somebody has to come play as a young guy because a senior graduated the year before, well, hey, you, there's a standard you need to play to, and you're held to that standard. And I think, for whatever reason, for a while, that was gotten away from, and I think Jim's kind of reinstilling that mindset.
All right. I'm going to follow up here. What was Brady like when he was on the team with you? He wasn't really there.
I see a lot of similarities with Tom now, just watching him as a fan and his demeanor in the huddle on the sidelines. Tom was always intense, but he just didn't have – he didn't have that much of a vocal part of it because, he was constantly fighting for splitting time, and that was a hard thing for both him and Drew the last couple of years. Because, you're just trying to see if you're playing this series or half or whatever and trying to take care of your business. But I will tell you this, there's nothing about Tom's career that surprised me. And I don't know if there's anybody on the planet that could have predicted that he'd go down as probably the best football player to ever play, but the leadership, his dedication, like all that stuff, like that was always there in college. He kind of had that little old 90s part down the middle surfer cut thing going on. California boy, everybody kind of thought, well, maybe he wasn't tough. Well, that wasn't, he's about as, and we knew that in college, he was as tough as they come. So, nothing about what he did post-college shocked anybody that played with him.
Yeah, we had Greg Harden on the show the other day. He's selling a book that's coming out in a couple of weeks. He said that Brady, the best thing that ever happened to him was Drew Henson, is what he said. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think everybody has to find whatever it is that gets them up in the morning and makes them want to be great that day. And for a lot of people, there's a lot of different things.
Sure.
It might be a death in the family or some tragedy or maybe it's just as simple as a goal that you want to achieve. But somehow, some way, there's got to be something that gets you up every day and motivates you. And I think Tom kind of formed that chip on his shoulder with the whole quarterback, I don't know what the word is, competition, I guess, between him and Drew. And I think Tom never really kind of put that to bed. I think he went into the league and he said he is going to do everything he can do to prove that there's no competition anywhere he goes. He's going to be the guy. And I'll tell you what, for 20 years or whatever, 20 however many years, that served him well.
Yeah, no, I would agree that it definitely served him well. All right, yeah. Steve. Safe journey up to Canton. And do you visit your bust? Are you going to go visit it? Do you see it?
Yeah. You know, actually, So we got a cool thing. So Saturday morning before the enshrinement, so we had there was a charity event earlier this summer in Ann Arbor. It's called Event on Main. It's a great great fundraiser for C.S. Mott Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor.
Beautiful spot.
And so, you know, Charles Woodson, Brian Greasy, myself, we've had our golf tournament, as you know, you've been to in years past. So we kind of jumped on and teamed up with this Event on Main. And so we do an auction on stage at the night of the live event. And so we had auctioned off these wonderful pictures of the Michigan Stadium with a flyover and all that, and there were different tiers. Well, Charles and I got the idea. How about we set aside these two pictures, and along with the picture and that, you get a couple tickets complimentary on the Hall of Fame to go to the Friday night dinner or the Friday night gold jacket and Saturday enshrinement. And along with that, Saturday morning, you get a tour of the Hall of the Hall of Fame Museum prior to it opening to the public with Charles and I. And so we had a couple very generous people donate some good money for the hospital. And so to answer your question the long way, yes, I will be in there with just a couple other people Saturday morning early. And I get to walk the halls crowd. And so I'm sure we'll go in the bus room and check it all out. So I'm looking forward to that.
And visit with the lid. The Hall of Fame bust. Okay, well, enjoy that. Enjoy your time getting there, and I'll see you Friday night.
See you soon.
You bet.
Right. You as well.
The great Steve Hutchinson. All right, now we are done with our conversation with the Pro Football Hall of Famer here on the Rich Eisen Show. And speaking of Brian Greasy, you know where he is now?
49ers
quarterback's coach. He is apparently talking about the quarterback situation there and Trey Lance.
Okay.
I wouldn't move if I were you. That's coming up, along with Joe Shane, the GM of the New York Giants. We'll do What's More Likely today.
Hey.
Yeah. We'll get that done.
Should I have prepared that?
Uh-oh. 844-204-RICH, also the number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show, here on this very busy Thursday. Jeff Schwartz is going to autograph my copy of Great Jews in Sports.
This is an amazing book. I didn't know this thing existed.
There you go. A Star of David. Have you ever signed it?
I've never signed it.
Give me the book and I'll hold it up here.
I've signed of a lot of things.
Hey, let's see what this looks like.
I signed a toilet seat one time. I signed a toilet seat.
What do you mean? Hold on. You signed a toilet seat?
Yeah, at Oregon, we had this, like, you know, like the big day where everyone comes and signs things. And, some guy brought a toilet seat one year and then brought a toaster the next year.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Do you know who you and your brother were the first Jewish brothers to play in the NFL since? Do you know that?
1923. It's in my book, Ema Schwartz. It's like the start of the book.
Do you know their names?
Yeah, it was the Friedman brothers, right?
No.
Oh, no, not the Friedman brothers. Not
Benny Friedman, who, by the way, went to University of Michigan, father of the modern pass.
I should know this.
I'll give you Ralph and Arnold.
Yeah, I should.
Horween,
yeah. Yeah, I used to know.
Horween brothers.
I should know that. It's in my book. But yeah, that's that I do know.
Ralph was an All-American at Harvard. Oh, his mother must have been so proud.
Yes. God bless.
Won the 1920 Rose Bowl. Played under the alias of Ralph McMahon, an Irish name. What the hell? Are there Horweens in the book?
I just went to local Oregon. Jeez.
Arnold played four seasons for Racine Chicago Cardinals with his brother. Let me look it up.
Hold on
a minute. Here we go. Here we go. Hold on a minute. Are they in here? The Horweens are not in here.
Or are they under the Irish name?
Red Holtz. We got to look under McMahon just in case they put the Irish alias in here. No.
Oh,
Red Holtzman's in here. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. I spoke to Mitchell Schwartz today. He's going to the Hall of Fame as part of the Joe Thomas contingent.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Back here on our program. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Hanging on. It just popped off my screen. Is there somebody who's...
Not on my screen either, so okay. It's just a random person.
Right. I'll have Adam pop that name back in a second. We've got coming up in hour number three, Joe Shane is back here on the program from the general manager of the New York Giants will be coming up in hour number three. What's more likely? Brian Greasy will have spoken here. Let's just pop the kid up on the phone line right here. Ooh, right there. Is the caller there?
Hello.
Who is this on the phone line right now? Hello? Oh, really? Okay.
I need callers.
I don't know.
Where are my callers?
These are one of the many things we're working on our staff here is to improve this here system. So
I don't know why. Is
Adam
blank.
Not listening to us right now? He just got to put the screen that's put the name of the caller.
I don't
caller
think he has a
here.
Way to listen. He's all getting rest.
All right. Here, he's putting his feet up.
Jerry
back there.
In Cincinnati.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jerry in Cincinnati, you're on the program. You there, Ringer? Jerry?
Rich, can you hear me?
I can. What's up, sir?
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
So I called on July 20th last year outlining a reimagined model of college football.
All right.
And the essence of the model was to eliminate conferences, set up a 72-team league, set aside 4 games a year for rivalries, have many tiers within the league, and include promotion and relegation. And also the scheduling would be done via a televised ping-pong ball draw. So there are finer points to the model, but I'm simply calling back 1 year later to see if you, Rich Eisen, are finally ready to join me and advocate for abolishing conferences as the only reasonable solution to save college football.
You'll never abolish conferences. You might be able to, you know, again, create a conference, SEC in one, Big Ten in another, you know, ACC joins the SEC conference, and then the conference between the Big, and then the Big Ten conference connects with the Big 12, right? Because, you know, it's easier maybe for SEC to visit Atlantic Coast and easier for Big Ten to visit, you know, Big 12. Throw some Pac-12 in there as well, obviously. And you got yourself two conferences. You split it up maybe if you want to have it 32 teams and 32 teams. You said 72. You know, you could split it up that way. And then have a playoffs in a conference versus a conference. And then a Super Bowl. Like, you do it like the pros. That is something that you could do, but you'll never. That's too radical. That's too crazy. Like there's too many commissioners who have gigs, too many television packages with too many conferences. You're never going to just abolish the conferences like that, you know?
Yeah, but you don't think that Michigan maybe thinks or Ohio State thinks, you know, our programs hold all the value. It's not the Big Ten. It's us. It's our rivalry games. There's no reason.
Obviously, there are some, and thanks for the call, Jerry. Call back again. Hopefully not, a year and 3 weeks later. you know, there's always going to be, you know, schools that drive the bus and rivalries that drive the conference bus, you know, but... There's too much money and too many contracts between conferences and television networks to just say conferences are over. Ping pong balls are going to be like, you know, as long as Michigan plays Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, Wisconsin, and the rest are all ping pong balls. And now Michigan's going to have to travel to Wake Forest. You know, I mean, the ping pong balls drop and all of a sudden Georgia's playing the bottom tier teams because the ping pong balls come out. I like the way people are thinking out of the box, but you know the way this is going to go, that conferences with schools that have like interests, similar budgets, same problems with NIL and poaching and same issues that they share, as opposed to what, 300 other member schools that aren't in the same area code as them.
But it's television contracts. It's ESPN, it's Fox, it's CBS. They're kind of running things here with the way, you know, because of the money.
Right. And then there's also streamers that are going to get in on this. I mean, Peacock has got, NBC now has got more than just Notre Dame.
I mean, you know, Pac-12 Peacock might have to turn to Apple because they don't have a TV deal right now.
Well, I mean, and Apple is becoming a bigger player now. They got MLB, they've got MLS. I mean... Honestly, Apple right now has Ohtani and Messi.
True.
Harrison Ford. Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so add Oregon football and Washington football. I mean, they're a player. Then all of a sudden, you know, you flip on your phone and you're watching Oregon versus Washington. Unless, of course, you're one of those people who are in the text chain with a green bubble, then you're out.
If you're the green dot, what are you doing?
You're out. You're just messing with us. But that's the way this is all going. So, and then they all get together and they have their own NIL rules and they're not waiting for, you know, Senator Tuberville to come up with his plan. So, Joe Shane of the Giants coming up in hour number three and what's more likely. And then Brian Griese on Trey Lance and how he's doing. That's coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show in hour number three on this terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM Odyssey, and more. Still here on Roku, though. You want to see what I got?
Yes. You got something?
I got free stuff.
Ah, love free stuff.
From one Justin James Watt.
Oh, heard of him.
I have the latest Burnley FC gear.
Hey.
What do you think? Hold on. Very, a big cabeza.
Very high, yeah.
It was a very high hat?
Yeah, it was very high.
JJ's giving me the high hat. All right, here. I'm going to rip off the tag.
I mean, he's got a big head, too.
By the way, I believe these hats and others are going to be available, and it goes to a local food bank for Burnley.
Sweet. There you go. That fits better.
Better, right? And, all right.
Got the kit.
Got the kit.
Nice.
There it is. Right
Sweet.
There.
Flip it around.
Flip it around. There it is. Name on the back.
Oh.
23. Did he choose? Because he know that Mattingly's my favorite?
No, I think it's the year, 2023.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Just didn't know if he knows that.
Did some research and Donnie Baseball?
Yeah, Donnie Baseball wore 23.
Looking good, Billy Ray.
Thank you.
Feeling good, Lewis.
There you go. So thank you, JJ Watt. And Brady just got into Birmingham FC.
Birmingham,
right?
Yeah. They're in the level below the Premier League. I was looking that up this morning.
But well done.
I think I have to cheer for them now, right?
Burnley FC. Thanks for the gear, JJ Watt. Appreciate it.
Very cool.
It is pretty cool. Do I walk around in a Canton with this thing on?
What did sure. I do? Oh, I mean, it's got your name on the back. That's a little weird.
Why is it weird?
Yeah, what's weird about that?
What's weird about that?
Kind of looks like an 80s Phillies jersey.
Well Phillies wearing a jersey with his name on the back. That
says Jay Philly.
For over three decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, wow, like that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.